This is Digital Story Podcast number 544, August 9th, 2016. Today's theme is Optical Threesome. I'm Derek Story. Since I embrace the philosophy of nimbulosity, I've pared down my lens combinations to groups of three. And unless I'm on a paying gig, that's all I carry. In today's show, I share the contents of my five favorite camera kits, featuring a trio of lenses for each. For me, they're the perfect balance of effective photography and traveling light. So, when I walk out the door, prepared for a shoot, I typically have my iPhone, a camera body, and three lenses. Now, which kit I bring really depends on the assignment that I'm about to do. Is it a commercial portrait assignment? Am I traveling really light? Is it my everyday kit? Am I shooting film? You know, all these things really come into play. And so over time, what I've done is I've come up with these kits that include one body and three lenses. There's one exception, but otherwise one body and three lenses that I use for my various photo assignments. Now, most of these assignments are self-assignments, just like you, right? I decide that I'm going to go hiking for the day. I decide that we're taking a road trip. I decide that I want to do a portrait of somebody. You know, those kind of things. Now, the reason why I've decided to try to go with just three lenses and a body has to do with the nimble photographer. Yeah, you were probably way ahead of me on that one, weren't you? Because I found that, you know, generally speaking, on any given shoot, I'm only using one or two lenses, and the third lens is usually kind of a safety net. But I certainly don't need five lenses, I don't need six lenses, I don't need eight lenses. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to go over five different kits. Now, I'm not your normal photographer in the sense that I probably have more gear than most people, all right? So my kits have different bodies and so forth. But essentially, what you could do as you're listening to this and you're thinking about this and it's of interest to you is that you could take the body that you have or the system that you have. You probably have way more than three lenses. And you could say, okay, then on any given thing, I'll use this body and these couple lenses, or, you know, these couple lenses for something else, that kind of thing. Now, on the other hand, if you don't have more than one lens yet, this might be interesting to you because there'd be some of the thinking involved here with, well, what lens do I get next? What lens should I buy? I mean, I've got the kit zoom lens. What else should I get? So hopefully this will be helpful for you that way too. And then the rest of you, well, okay, let's just hope it's pure entertainment, right? Because there's nothing wrong with that either. Okay, so, all right, let's get going on this. Let's start out with my everyday kit. This is a kit that I always have with me when I walk out the door. This is my basic kit. This is when I'm going from home to office and just living in the world. This is what I'm carrying around. And is my Olympus OMD EM5 Mark II. That's the body. So this is a Micro Four Thirds kit. The 14-42 Easy Zoom. The 17mm f1.8 prime. And the 45mm f1.8 prime. Now, this is an interesting kit to me. The lens that I leave on there is the zoom. The little pancake zoom. It hardly takes up any space. I've really grown to love it over the years that I've had it. I think it's a terrific zoom. I remember when I first bought it, I put it through all these rigorous tests because I was thinking that, you know, a lens that compact couldn't be any good. It was just like too good to be true for a zoom lens that had that kind of zooming range to be that compact and to be good. But it is. It is good. And I mean, it's not as good as my, you know, $1,100 Panasonic zoom, my 12-35. But then again, I don't want to carry that around all the time. The difference, I'll tell you. Well, anyway, we won't go down that road right now. Another thing that's different about this kit is that normally I will have two zooms and then one prime. the thinking being that the prime is for when I'm in a low light situation. That's when I need that f1.7 or f1.8 or f2.0 lens for low light. And that's the main reason why I carry primes most of the time. This kit's a little different because it's one zoom and two primes. And you're going, well, wow, that is a little different. The thinking is that the one zoom really covers basically what I need. And, you know, things are a little different with the EM5 Mark II because it has the 2x digital zoom that I absolutely love, totally trust, and think that the quality is fantastic. So what that allows me to do is shoot, you know, 14 to 42 when I need it, which is really, because it's micro four thirds, right? 28 to 84. But if I need to, then I can push that thing all the way up to 168 millimeters by using the 2x zoom. So that really covers a lot of turf there. I mean, that is, generally speaking, as much as I would need. So the reason why I have the other two lenses are for wide aperture to drop out the background, because it's harder to drop out the background on the smaller sensor cameras, on the micro four thirds cameras. So I have the 45-1.8 to drop out the background. I shoot with it wide open most of the time. I use it for portraits. It's really, really like a 90 f1.8. And so that is for that. And then I have the 17 because it's just a great all-around lens. That's a basically a 34 millimeter f1.8, a great street lens. I love manually focusing with it. You know, it has the scale and everything on there. It has snap focus, so I can go back and forth easily from manual focus to autofocus. It's my low light lens, like when I'm shooting at twilight and I have the camera on a tripod, all that kind of stuff. So this kit is a little different, but, you know, I love it. And unless I'm doing something specific, unless I'm shooting sports or something like that, I use these three lenses almost all of the time. Very rarely do I say, oh, God, I wish I had the 40 to 150 with me right now or something like that. That doesn't happen very often at all. All right, so that's the everyday kit. Now, the next kit is the portrait assignment kit. And this is what I grab when I'm going to do portraits, senior portraits, things like that. And so it is the Canon 5D Mark II DSLR, the Canon 24 to 105 f4 zoom, that's an L zoom, Canon 70 to 200 f2.8 zoom, that's another L optic, and then the 85 f1.8 prime. And I have 50 millimeter prime, I have 35 millimeter prime. The reason why in this particular lens trio I have the 85 is because, again, I am thinking portraits. This is a kit that I use for people shots when I'm thinking I'm going to shoot people. Now, having the 24 to 105, that covers a lot of areas. So suddenly, if I'm going from one person to a group shot, no problem with that 24 to 105. It's a full-frame sensor, so it's a true 24 millimeters on the wide end. The 70-200 f2.8, as I've told you before, that's like a magic lens. That lens, I always feel like makes me look like a better photographer than I really am. And I love it for portraits and just about anything else that is within that range. And then I have had that 85 prime since the film photography days. I bought it for weddings way back when. It's a lens that just has a special quality. You know, I shoot it wide open at f1.8. Some of the pictures I have up on the wall here at the studio were captured with that lens. There's just something about it, what it does to the background and the feel that it has. So those three lenses cover just everything that I need with people photography. And like I said, the safety net in that one is the 24 to 105. With that zooming range, you know, just about anything that happens. It's optically stabled lens, so even though it's an F4, it has image stabilization. That's a nice kit. Now, that is not, my friend, a super nimble kit, okay? All right, that is my biggest lens threesome. far and away, because, you know, the 7200 alone, you know, weighs more than probably some of these kits all put together. But there are times when I want the DSLR and I need the DSLR, and that's the threesome that I put with it. All right, next one, the Super Nimble Travel Kit. This is the Super Nimble Travel Kit. And that is a Panasonic GM5 Micro Four Thirds camera with the Lumix 12-32 pancake zoom, the Lumix 35-100 compact telephoto, and the Lumix 20mm f1.7 prime. I'm going to start with the 35-100 because I took that lens to Cuba. I didn't want or felt like I needed a telephoto lens in Cuba, and I was really conscious about weight. And so I went with this one instead of the other longer zooms that I have. This is really, this is that small 35-100. I mean, literally it's like an inch and a half tall, 2 inches maybe tall. It is tiny. And I'll tell you, that lens performed like the day is long. It was really impressive. And I used it on Olympus and Panasonic bodies both. It's fantastic on each. So that lens really proved itself to me. I got the 12-32, the standard zoom, when I bought the GM5. I had never really thought about buying it as a separate lens, but it came with the GM5 and I really like it. And again, amazingly compact. So those are my two zooms. They're not, you know, they're not super fast. You know, their maximum aperture is great for daylight, but once you go inside or once it's twilight or something, you need something a little faster. And that's where I have the Panasonic Lumix 20mm f1.7. That is my prime in this trio. Killer lens. And I know a lot of people, especially when I'm out working with other photographers, a lot of people, that's the lens that they leave on the camera most of the time. Just that, and I have a version 2 of that lens, the 20mm. I really like version 2 of the 20mm f1.7, the Panasonic. Now, that being said, I usually have one of the zooms on the GM5 when I'm just bopping around, because I do like having the zooming range. The minute I need to work in light that dips at all, I'm putting that 20mm on, and it never disappoints me. This is a really light kit. This kit will fit in all the camera bags in the Nimble Photographer store with room left over for a bunch of other stuff. I mean, this is probably as light a kit as you're ever going to get. And I'll tell you, the image quality is fantastic. Let's move into film kit here. And I love this film kit. Well, actually, these next two, one's a rangefinder, one's a SLR. We'll start with the SLR. So the SLR kit is a Pentax ZX5. Some of you might not be familiar with that body. The ZX5 came out in the 1990s, and it was Pentax's attempt, and it was a good attempt, to bring back the magic of their smaller cameras, and the ME Super in particular. So it is like a modern update to the ME Super. And it's so funny, because I've been shooting with these Pentaxes on the film side a lot, Pentax and Contax both. I like the Xs. You know, I ordered, there was one that was really cheap, Canon EOS Elan. And I used to shoot with that body a lot. In fact, I used to use the Elan 2E, which I ordered, I got for cheap. I used to use it for weddings. So I ordered one because I have all these Canon lenses, and I go, you know, I'm silly not to have a film body, you know, just in case I want to use any of my lenses with it. I wasn't in a hurry, and you know, when you're not in a hurry, that's when you find good deals. I got a really good deal on Elan 2E. And when it came and I opened up the box and I held it in my hand, just the body, you know, no lens on it or anything, it felt huge. It was so weird. It felt huge. And I'm so used to shooting with these Pentax SLRs and the smaller Contax SLRs that I've forgotten how big the Canons and Nikons can be. So anyway, I mean, I like the body and everything, but it just, I don't know, it felt too big. It did. And that's because I've been spoiled by these Pentax bodies. So anyway, the ZX5, really cool camera. I like all the Z series cameras. If any of you that follow the analog story, you know that I've written about the ZX-M also, which I think is a cool camera. Anyway, my prime is the Pentax F 50mm f1.7. Boy, that's a cool lens. I mean, that is really, I think it's one of the best primes. The Pentax f1.4 and the 1.7, those are just, I mean, they're well made, they're sharp, they focus well, all that kind of stuff. Terrific lens. So that's my prime lens, and that's actually the lens I leave on that camera most of the time because I just like it so much. But I also carry the 35-80 Pentax F zoom, nice little zoom. I carry that one because it's more compact than some of the other zooms in that range. And then I have the 70-200 Pentax. When you look at the picture, so I did a picture of all these lenses and camera bodies where they're all together, and they're in the show notes. And if you follow us on Facebook, you'll see it on the Facebook post too. And I really like it because it shows, you know, the relative size of everything. That Pentax 70-200mm is near the Canon 70-200. Now, obviously, the Canon 70-200 is f2.8 all the way through, so it's going to be bigger. But it's amazing the size difference of those two lenses, how much bigger the Canon is. So that's my lens trio for my SLR film kit. And I'll tell you, I'm really happy with it, and I love shooting with the ZX5 with that Pentax F50mm. Boy, that's a cool lens. By the way, that Pentax F50mm, that works on the newer Pentaxes also, on the digitals. So, you know, just in case you run across one, I highly recommend it. Finally, number five, this is my rangefinder film kit. And you know, I love having a rangefinder camera in the lineup. I've always wanted one. I always wanted a Leica. Never could afford it. And I always wanted a Contax G, and I never could afford it. Well, good news is, as time went on, the prices did come down on the Contax G. They haven't really so much on the Leicas. But I'm able to get the Contax G with the Zeiss lenses. Now, this one, I only carry two lenses. This is a really compact kit, and this is my street photography kit. When I want to shoot film, street photography, I use it for travel. So the two lenses that I carry with it are the Zeiss 28mm f2.8 and the Zeiss 45mm f2.0. And both of those lenses are sharp, 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 sharp. Oh my gosh, they're so sharp. And beautiful contrast and great camera. And that is the camera and those two lenses that I take when I want to shoot film and I want it to turn out really well, if you know what I mean. I mean, that's the camera that I use when I'm not shooting expired film, when I'm shooting fresh film that I take care of and you know, all that kind of stuff. That's the camera that I took for Out of Chicago, you know, because I knew that there was going to be pictures there, film pictures, that I would want forever. And I only carry two lenses on that one. I had a 90 for it. I had the 90mm f2.8, which is a beautiful lens. And I was using it for portraits, but I wasn't using it enough. And it was kind of long compared to the other lenses. And it wasn't really working in my nimble kit. I went ahead and sold it on my Etsy site, the film camera shop, made someone else happy. And I haven't really missed it since I sold it. So, you know, that's how you know that it's okay. So those are my five kits. If you're going to buy any of these, you can just click on the B&H tile on any of the pages of the Digital Story first, or the Amazon tile, depending on where you buy. I'd really appreciate it because then that kicks in the whole affiliate thing for me. And that helps support the site. So all you have to do is just click on the B&H thing, go to the site, then copy and paste, you know, whatever lens that, you know, you want to look at on the site. Copy it from the show notes, paste it on the B&H thing in search, and you'll be fine. So anyway, here's my bottom line on all that. Each of these kits provide me with the tools that I need for the job at hand, yet they allow me to move lightly as possible through the world while I work. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed that one. In the news. Boy, this is interesting. This is a, kind of a two-part story. So this is from Petapixel, this reporting. And it's robbed Olympics photographer spots thief posing as him in venue. So I'll read the bit here in a second. Just to give you a little background. So there has been a big theft problem in Rio during the Olympics because some of the unscrupulous types there go, wow, all these photographers are coming with all this gear and it's time for us to, you know, get to work and steal some camera stuff. And there's been a lot of that going on, and it's really, really causing some problems. So this particular story is about a photographer, a News Corp photographer, Brett Costello, who was robbed in a coffee shop. He was distracted and robbed $40,000 worth of gear. So, you know, we're all going, oh, God, that sucks. But then it turns out there's another chapter to the story, and that's what I'm going to read you right now. And then I'll talk a little bit more about it. News Corp photographer Brent Costello was robbed of $40,000 in camera gear at a cafe in Rio a few days ago. Then yesterday, while covering an event at the Olympics, Costello spotted the thief pretending to be him. So while he was at the cafe on Thursday, Costello was approached by a woman who began speaking to him in Portuguese. As he was distracted, her accomplice grabbed his rolling case filled with high-end camera gear and took off in a getaway car. Fast forward a few days. Yahoo Sports reports that while Costello was entering the stadium yesterday for the men's archery competition, he noticed another man entering behind him wearing an official photo vest. But not just any vest, it was Costello's stolen photo vest. Right away, Costello alerted authorities. They interrogated the person on the spot, and they arrested him. So, the story is just crazy, right? So, they showed a picture in the Petapixel story. I linked to it, of course, of the woman that distracted him. And, you know, she's the kind of woman that would distract a man. And speaking Portuguese on top of that and all that. So, he loses his gear, all right? But he's got to go on. I'm sure, you know, he gets loaner gear and all that stuff. So now he's going through security to enter the stadium. And the guy next to him in line is the guy that stole his gear wearing his vest. Is there a God or what? I mean, really, that to me is just incredible. The thing about this that's so important is that what's happening in some of my photographer friends that are working in Rio right now are saying that even inside the MPC, which is where I worked in Beijing, the main press center, which is a secure facility, is inside Olympic Village, is a secure facility. Even inside there, gear is getting stolen. So what's happening is people are stealing stuff on the outside, getting credentials, they're getting into the Olympics, and then they're stealing more stuff because they have access inside. So, I mean, this is not a good situation. I really, really feel for the photographers because, you know, it's one thing when you're out and about, you should be watching your gear. I mean, Brett should not have had his roller, you know, any distance from him at all while he was in the cafe in Rio. So that's one thing, okay? You don't do that. But while you're working in the main press center, you should not have to worry about being right next to your gear every second. I mean, that is supposed to be a secure environment where you're working with your peers. And to have theft going on there, that is just nuts. Not to mention all the venues, right? So this is a real problem. But this story I take a little comfort in because the bad guy got caught. And he got caught by the guy that he ripped off in the first place. How perfect is that? Photos for OS 10. Extensions for local adjustments. So I'm really jazzed about this one. This is a new title from Linda that I just published at lynda.com, lynda.com. And when I was working with my program director, Jim Hyde, for, you know, upcoming titles, One of the things that we wanted to do was really focus on the editing extensions that these third-party developers are making for photos, because they're cool. They are so much better than round-tripping, whereas most of the photo extensions don't work that way at all. The interweaving of the two apps is so much tighter. And then what I really love, you know, aside from not having this big clunky file come back in, is that even while you're in Photos looking at the file that you've edited using Tonality or whatever you're using, you can just hit revert to original or even hit the M key and see the original right there in Photos for something that you worked on in one of these editing extensions. It's just really clever. It's really smart. It works really well. Non-destructive. Once you work on it, then it propagates to all your other Macs and devices. So what we want to do is create some titles that just focused on these. This is the first in a series of these titles, and this one is local adjustments. So working on specific areas of an image, working with masking, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you, this type of work in these very modern editing extensions, in this very modern Photos environment, makes local adjustments as easy as anything I have ever seen. It is so easy. And if you've had a problem working with local adjustments in the past, you just didn't get working with all the layers in Photoshop or whatever, you should really take a look at this, because this makes it so attainable. you just have success right away, and the results are terrific. In this one, we work with, I believe, 6 different editing extensions. Some of my favorites are in there. And then I'm going to be working on another title, Advanced Techniques Using Editing Extensions. I'll be working on that one in the fall. So if you have a chance, go to the link in the show notes, or just go over to lynda.com, search on my name, Derek Story, and it'll come up at the top of the list along with all of my other titles. It's Photos for Serious Photography. Between what's going on with these editing extensions and between what I'm working on with Photos 2.0 and Mac OS Sierra, it's not a toy. It's the real deal. Here's kind of a fun bit. I saw this on F-Stoppers, and I linked to the original article. And it's titled, 10 Reasons Why Wildlife Photographers Are Crazy. So I'm just going to give you the 10 reasons right now, but I also have the link to the article in the show notes. And if you want to hear the why on these, the background on these, then go to the article, and the author also talks about why this is. But I thought I would just read you these 10 reasons why wildlife photographers are crazy. First of all, it's been done, right? These animals have been photographed before. Photo opportunities are rare and becoming rare, right? No control over the subject. Wildlife can be dangerous. The alone time, which is abundant for these guys. The preparation, which is extensive for these guys. Difficult to make a living. Cost of equipment. Those big lenses cost a lot of money. Cost of travel, and then cost of health, lugging all this stuff around to these remote locations. So I thought, yeah, you know what? I'm looking at this list, and that is not the easiest way to go if you want to be a photographer, being a wildlife photographer. So if you want to know more about those 10 items, just go over to the article on F-Stoppers. I have the link. But yeah. I think I agree with that. All right, just 2 updates here for you before we wrap up for today. First of all, welcome to the new photographers on the TDS Inner Circle. Those are our Patreon supporters. So I sent all of you a note kind of laying out, you know, what the Inner Circle is and, you know, some of the advantages. If you didn't get that note, then make sure you log into your Patreon account and it'll be there waiting for you from me. One of the things is we're wrapping up the Nimble Photographer First Season podcast this Friday. The last episode of the season will publish. And then after that, I've got some really great stuff lined up that I'm working on right now. So it's just going to be fun. It's just going to keep rolling. This is something that I really enjoy. And I appreciate your support. Those of you that have become part of the inner circle. I just really appreciate it. And if you're curious about what I'm talking about, all you have to do is click on the tile that's on any of the pages of the digital story, the Patreon tile that says, you know, you can help support the site. And I'll take you right over to our Patreon page, or just go to patreon.com/thedigitalstory. And finally, a big thanks to our friends over at Red River Paper, who are also my friends online. I mean, you know, they provide my printing materials for me. They help support this show, our longest running supporter. And they hang out online a lot. And it feels good when your sponsor, you know, likes an image that you post on Instagram, or, you know, retweets something that you tweeted, or, you know, jumps in on Facebook, whatever. And I just think it's really cool, because that just sort of shows, you know, that they're all in, that, you know, this is something that they feel a connection to also. So beyond the great printing paper, beyond the inkjet supplies, beyond the envelopes and glassine sleeves, beyond the tutorials, beyond the great printer reviews that I've been talking about, beyond all of that, they're just purely into photography, and they support the people that, you know, they're connected to. And so I think we should support them. They are my paper of choice, far and away. And if you're thinking about doing some inkjet printing, if you're thinking about making some fine art cards, making some prints, doing something for the wall, just click on the tile on the digital story, Red River Paper tile. Go over there to our landing page. There's always a deal waiting for you. Get some paper and make something beautiful. That's going to do it for me this week. I'm working on some great stuff for our next show. Make sure you come back and join me. Thanks for hanging out here with me today. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye now.